We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
There's 1 hour left in our show today, and 1 hour left for us to finally put this story to bed. What am I talking about? Dallas, San Francisco, the end of the game. We've all talked about it now ad nauseum. The Cowboys were not able to get the quarterback sneak and spike the ball in time to run one final Hail Mary. You've got to blame somebody today and then forever hold your peace. Who are you blaming? Is it Dak? Is it Mike McCarthy? Is it Kellen Moore? Is it somehow Jerry Jones? Is it the referee? And then once the show ends today, that's it. We turn the page.
So if somebody calls tomorrow and they want to talk about this play, what do you tell them?
SOL, man. Like, we put out the ground rules. Today's the day. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You want to be heard? You want to tell us who you're blaming? Well, that's how you get in touch with the show.
You know, the great thing in the NFL, you know there's going to be a bad officiating play or some coach screw up in the next round. Every week we're getting this now.
Well, unfortunately, yes, but like we are, once tomorrow comes and then the divisional round happens, like we're off and running now. Yeah. This is it. Like this is last licks here on the Cowboys.
Okay. Yeah, you could go to my Twitter feed and I've gotten a lot of support. I showed a play where Aaron Rodgers ran up to the line and spiked the ball plenty of time. People gave me an example where Trevor Lawrence, who's a rookie, did this in 12 seconds the Jaguars. You just have to know to hand the ball to the official. That seems to be the key. That seems to be where the time was lost by Dallas.
Yes, I think that was wrong. But a lot of people blame the official because he was so far away from the play.
Right. How could he have handed it to him? He wasn't within 15 yards of him. So there's a lot of blame to go around. But you only have today to spread that blame.
All right. So we want to talk about something that's not getting enough attention. Now, when you first said this to me, I thought it was crazy. I thought about it a little more. It's still bananas.
Oh, good.
Say your piece.
Deebo Samuel, the San Francisco 49ers, arguably the most dangerous player in the NFL postseason. Maybe that's a stretch, but he's up there. He is a Shohei Ohtani of the National Football League.
Just get out of here.
He's approaching the Shohei Ohtani. He's as close as you get to Shohei Ohtani in the National Football League.
Okay, explain what you mean.
I have never seen a wide receiver who plays running back like him. Now, there have been wide receivers who play running back. Ty Montgomery moved famously in Green Bay. He never did anything like Debo's doing. And the numbers bear this out. Let me share some of these.
Okay.
Don't fall asleep here. Okay. He accounted for 15 total touchdowns this year. Well, that's not a good one because that could be anything. Okay. He ranked third.
So far, your case is crashing and burning.
He accumulated 1,770 yards from scrimmage, third in the NFL. He led the league in yards per reception, 18.3. So he's a big play wide receiver. A lot of that was yak. He was also fourth in yards per rush, 6.2. That's pretty incredible. You have to have at least 50 rushes. His 8 rushing touchdowns are the most by a receiver in a season since 1970. He's the only receiver in the modern era to lead his team rushing TDs. I could go on and on. He is a complete statistical freak. But it's not just that. You had said earlier before the show, it's like, yeah, you know, Tyreek Hill could get a jet sweep. It'd be pretty dangerous. Nobody runs it between the tackles like Deebo Samuel. He is so tough. He sets a tone. It's like Earl Campbell in a wide receiver's body.
Wow.
And I think the rest of the Niners see that, and they get fired up by this guy. That's what's different about him. He is a unicorn in the sense that he is a tough, tough wide receiver. That's a position for divas, and he's the exact opposite.
I appreciate where you're going with Deebo Samuel. He definitely deserves to be shouted out because of how he's doing this, right? Which is he is a true... He is a wide receiver that also runs between the tackles. It is very, very rare to see. I do remember, though, Belichick doing this one playoff run where he actually had Aaron Hernandez taking the ball out of the backfield, if you remember that, and running through the tackles like as a tight end who was doing it.
But he didn't do it 10 times a game.
No, but he did it a lot in one particular game that I believe was, I want to say the Denver Broncos, but I got to go back and look and check out exactly. But it was innovative, and... The Shohei Ohtani comparison, though, falls flat to me because what Ohtani's doing is like if a quarterback then also went and played another position. Mm. Like he's playing offense and defense, which I know guys have done that where they played on both sides. But like, you know, when you're a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, it's kind of as close as we're getting to a quarterback. Doesn't that have to be the example? And you're never going to get a quarterback that's going to play another position. I mean, you can say Marcus Mariota or like a running quarterback or Taysom Hill, whatever. But like, you're never going to get a quarterback that's going to play straight up two positions.
Right. What if you had a two-way player, like a true two-way player, a guy, say Jalen Ramsey lined up a wide receiver, the Rams cornerback and cornerback the whole game. Would that be Shohei-like for you?
That'd
be
pretty rare. That'd be more Shohei-like to me. But I think that I do think that Samuel has some very unicorn qualities to him.
Yeah, and I think if the Niners are going to win this game, I can't imagine Jimmy G is going to do it alone. If it's not a big Deebo game, I'm not sure how they do this.
Well, Elijah Mitchell, too, and the defense has got to be great. I mean, the running game has got to be everything. You're right, with Deebo.
Right, they got to keep it out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. But Deebo, too, they kind of know Debo's coming, but Kyle Shanahan is such an amazing coach. I saw some quotes from him and his coaching staff. It's like, if we get Deebo in space, he is just going to cause damage. So that's the key here because the Packers on paper are a better team.
So beyond Jalen Ramsey, who are other players that you would want to see go play two really totally different positions?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. Now, I can't say that there are two totally different situations, but I'm going to start with the Panthers. Christian McCaffrey. Mm. We know he's a great receiving running back.
Yeah.
Every time I watch him, he should be a slot receiver. I don't want to go, you know, the obvious comparison. He could be Julian Edelman. He's about the same size. His dad was a receiver. He runs incredible routes. Now, what is the problem with Christian McCaffrey?
He's always hurt.
Move him to receiver. He's not going to have the same wear and tear. Running backs get in there, and they get hit from all sides. Move him to receiver. You'll get your money's worth, and he'll be just as effective. I think he could catch 110 balls, and he's going to be incredible after the catch. The way he moves is closer to receiver than any running back. It's like Marshall Faulk. I'm giving him that kind of praise. Marshall Faulk's the best I've ever seen at doing both, and McCaffrey's not that far off.
They might have to, like out of necessity, too. And they also have Chuba Hubbard, who can run the ball.
Okay, a little more Shohei-like. How about Trayvon Diggs, brother of Stephon Diggs, Dallas Cowboys? Have you ever seen a cornerback track a football like that? That dude's got the catching skills.
Well,
move him to receiver. Why not? Yeah, Let's have fun.
Because the Cowboys are really hurting for receivers. I mean, that's the place where they actually have a lot of talent, even though Michael Gallup got hurt before the playoffs.
But that talent went away. Gallup's going to be, I think he's a free agent. You know, they might have to pick up another receiver. Play him both ways. Is it really that exhausting to play 16 minutes of football?
I think it is. Yes, I think it is that exhausting.
Okay. There's one, this doesn't count at all, but Darren Waller on the Raiders.
Yeah.
Tight end. That dude's a wide receiver. Can we just say that he's not a tight end?
He's got a tight end's body.
No, he doesn't. He is long and tall. I have never really seen him throw a lot of blocks. I'm sure someone's going to throw a tape to me. But I always be like, Kelce and Waller, to me, they're basically fancy wide receivers. Another guy, Micah Parsons, I've never seen. Is this a little bit low-key Shohei-like? Have you ever seen a guy who played inside linebacker and pass rusher so dominantly for Dallas? I feel like this is an incredible career, and he's going to be a bit of a unicorn on defense because he moves back and forth around the defense like no one I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, but I think that is amazing, and it is like it's to be noted and celebrated, but that also is going to wear with age. I guess any of these you could say that, but like I don't know if you can continue to do that as you would get older. Maybe he could do it for like the next 5 years. But
so which one does he settle in? You think he eventually moves back to linebacker? Off the ball linebacker?
Yeah, well, you usually end up moving in. The older you get, right, you end up moving in.
Okay. The last one, finally a fun one. Let's just do it. Vita Vea, the Tampa Bay big guy at fullback.
You just want to see a big guy touchdown.
I know, and I believe, and, you know, they do this around. Yeah. But, man, I remember Haloti Ngata on the Ravens when he would get in there. Can you imagine being like a 195-pound cornerback and having one of these guys come at you with a ball in their hand? Why don't we do this? We are all about big man touchdowns. Maggie, you talked about them earlier this week.
We had two in the wild card round.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. I don't know. Every time I think that you can't innovate anymore in the NFL, along comes my co-host Andrew Perloff talking about how the next Shohei Ohtani is Deebo Samuel.
I don't think you're fully on this Deebo Samuel bandwagon. I'm not sensing that you...
I think he's amazing. Okay, it's not about that. I do think that he is a unicorn. I just can't go Shohei Ohtani. I reserve Ohtani, and you and I, because of the virtue of... You know, when our show started, which was right after the new year, we haven't talked a lot of baseball.
Yep.
But I'm a massive baseball fan.
Okay.
And we, you know, New York is a baseball town. And Ohtani, to me, I was just blown away. Blown away with him being able to do what he did. To pitch like that and to be the best hitter on your team, wild.
Yeah.
Wild. And so I want to reserve that for very, very special circumstances.
All last year, the only baseball story I kept pushing, I'm like, let's talk about Shohei. He's the most amazing thing. You know, it kind of peaked at the All-Star game. I'm so sorry to tell you this, though. They have to move him to just hitter. I am sorry. The pitching's cute. It's not working.
No, they have plenty of time where he can DH and he can hit.
You're not going to sit there and he's not going to be in your lineup for a year because he blew out his elbow. Stop it.
He's over those injury things.
No, the Angels have to move him to hitter full time. This pitching thing, I'm sorry, he's no Deebo Samuel, Maggie. He cannot play two positions. It's just a huge investment. He's such a good hitter, and he's so fast on the base pass.
No, don't take it away from me.
Are we going to fight all summer about this?
Probably. 855-212-4CBS. Can't wait. 855-212-4227. Lance is in San Francisco. He wants to answer our question of the day, which is, who are you blaming finally and forever for what happened at the end of the Cowboy 49er game? What do you got, Lance?
Well, thank you. I love your show. I love you guys' show.
Oh, thank you.
You got to say, you know, it's the quarterback. It's the coach. He gave 1 second where there was 1 second between time of everything going perfectly right. Are you an idiot? 1 second? A professional football game, referees, fans, people jumping on your quarterback. The guy looked like he was hungry on the sideline the whole time. I don't know if you saw him. I looked like he always wanted a sandwich on the side or something.
Lance.
It's a layup. I'm a big guy. I can do it. It's a layup. That was a big laugh. Look at this guy. He looks hungry. But I got to tell
Lance,
you,
I have a question for you. You say you're a big guy. You don't have to give your stats on the air. But
I'm a big guy.
You're a big guy.
And my son's even bigger.
And your son's
six,
bigger.
Seven,
okay. I have a question for you. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Say it again. You're what?
My son is 6'7", 3'6", size 18 shoe. I'm only 6'3". He's 6'7". He's a big cat.
Oh, my goodness.
He's half Samoan.
Great. Okay. Well, I got a question that only a big guy can answer.
All right. Here we go.
Because I was thinking about this. Do you think, and I swear this question popped in my head when I was watching the game. Do you think Mike McCarthy's getting a snack at halftime? Do you think Andy Reid is getting a snack at halftime?
I thought I saw mayonnaise on the side of his lip. I did. Look at the guy. I think he ate a sandwich. It looked like he had crumbs on his beard.
And listen, this comes with no judgment. Lance, thank you so much for the call. And thank you for answering my question. No judgment. I was just curious. If you're a bigger guy, football games are long. You go in that whole game without having something to eat at halftime, little something, granola bar or something.
Well, the guy that jumps to mind, Andy Reid, has to have something. Isn't he famous for his diet, which is not great?
Well, the cheeseburgers after the wins.
Yes.
That's what he's famous for,
After the wins. Yeah, of course.
What do you have time for at halftime?
But in NFL locker room, you see all sorts of power bars, maybe smoothies. You got to have
Andy Reid's even a power bar or a smoothie?
So you're saying
a meal?
He has an assistant run out to one of the, but the line's really long at hot dogs.
Concession stand?
So you see at 6 minutes, an assistant coach comes over and Andy Reid whispers, ooh, that must be some strategy. He's going, no, I want nachos and a soft pretzel. Bring it immediately to the locker room at halftime.
Well, I remember, and this was unfair, I thought, this has happened a couple times actually, where guys have gotten caught eating food on the bench and they get lambasted for it.
Absolutely.
Lambasted, whatever. like Mark Sanchez, this happened actually, I think, to Russell Westbrook once, ate a hot dog on the sideline. Rajon Rondo, I think this happened to. And like we criticize them, but I'm wondering, like, what are the coaches doing at halftime? You're a big guy coach. You kick off at 1. You're telling me those big guys aren't eating until 4:30?
Yeah, I feel like I'm thinking of some other coaches. I'm not going to name coaches, but Brian Daboll, for example, might have a snack at half of the Chiefs-Bills game, keep his mental energy up. But a lot of those guys who are up in the booth,
yeah,
I mean, they must have a spread up there, right?
I don't know, but I'm just thinking, like, what do you have time for? Is it more than a snack? Anyway, this is where my mind went. But yeah. Lance was right on it. He thought that maybe McCarthy was eating a sandwich.
And that's why he called that play?
And that's why he's blaming McCarthy.
I don't totally get it. Yeah,
it's a little flimsy, but I like it.
I feel like Cowboys fans, the ones we talked to, are not thrilled with the coach, the owner. I'm not hearing a lot of Dak hate. I think they're okay with Dak. And I'm kind of with them. I don't put that loss on Dak. There were so many problems on the team. I know the quarterback gets all the credit. But come on, the line crumbled, especially when Bosa was in the game. I don't really put that one on Dak. He might have screwed up the last play. But overall, the bigger problems are in ownership.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm putting it on Dak. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Coming up, if you think you're having a bad day, you ain't seen nothing yet. We've got audio you have to hear. It's Maggie and Perloff. We're hanging out with you on this Thursday, wherever you are. Hope you're having a great day, better than the next person you're going to hear from. Be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. I'm Andrew Perloff. She's Maggie Gray. It's your last day to blame somebody for the Cowboys' end-of-game fiasco. Give us a call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Look, I read all the numbers,
I know,
Maggie.
Look at that. You got all of them.
I'm growing and learning. So I'm pretty excited about this because I haven't really watched it, but my phone has blown up. With this story, can you walk us through this, Maggie?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So if you out there, if you think you're having a bad day, I'm about to make you feel better because at least you're not living this woman's life. And by this woman, I mean Tori Yorge. She's a TV reporter for the NBC affiliate WSAZ of Huntington, West Virginia. Now, I just want to tell you, we're going to play the audio here where she is reporting live from a water main break in Dunbar, West Virginia. Now, I just want to say, the reason why I can say this is that she's fine. She's fine. She's fine.
Wait, this is making me nervous.
She's fine, but her morning was very rough.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay. Tim,
that's first for you on
okay.
TV, sorry.
Woo! We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is, you know what? It's, one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Tori?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am,
you're okay?
You are so sweet, and you are okay.
I am so sorry.
It is all good.
You know, oh, Lord.
So you...
You know, it's my last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high? I couldn't really tell from looking.
Oh, I don't even... Do you know if I was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even know. I don't even know, Tim. My whole life just flashed before my eyes. But this is live TV and everything's okay. I thought I was in a safe spot, but clearly we might need to move the camera over a bit.
So she's okay. And the update is she got checked out. She went to the hospital. She said she's going to just be a little bit sore. Avoided major disaster there, but that was Tori Yorgi of the TV, the NBC affiliate WSAZ this morning in West Virginia. She got hit by a car and actually finished her live hit on TV. What a hero.
There's so many amazing things in that short clip.
Oh, there are.
What stood out to you? Because I have a few.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much I want to know. So this part, when she says... The third one, when she says she got hit in college, too. what was that?
College, too, just like that.
She got hit in college, too? This is the second time she's gotten hit by a car like that? This woman is unlucky. Imagine getting hit by a car once, let alone twice.
Yeah, and it wasn't like she wasn't being careful. Like, she's not walking in the car. There was no reason. I saw the video. There's no reason that car should have hit her. She did nothing wrong, as far as I can tell.
No, like, I can't even imagine. You've got, like, you know, the rule of three? You've got to be walking around with your head on a swivel because the odds are she might get hit again. Like, that's wild.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you've done some of this kind of reporting. Is there, when you're standing there with a mic, are you supposed to be looking behind you for oncoming cars?
No. So what she was doing, from what I understand, it's called one-man band. Mm. That means you go there, you set up your own camera, you set up your own lights, and you do the reporting, and oftentimes then you take it back to the headquarters and you actually edit the tape too. You know, when you're doing, you know, first starting out and stuff like that, you do this one-man band. And it's, you know, cost cutting and all that. And so you don't have anyone who's looking out for you to be like, hey, there's a car coming. The other part of this that I have major questions of is when she said, reveal this after she got hit.
You know, it's my last week on the job and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Is her last week on the job? Like, what terrible luck. Again, as if getting hit in college and then hit again on live television is bad enough. And, like, I want to know, like, is she going to a bigger affiliate? Is she getting out of the business entirely? Her last week, where's she going?
Well, I mean, everyone knows you got to be more careful on your last week when you're in a dangerous job. That's when the accidents happen. Now, have you figured out where she's going? It must be out there.
I have no idea. I don't have an update on, like, the worst would be if she's leaving the business entirely. And she's like, you know what? I'm fed up with local news. It's too dangerous out there or it's too unpredictable. And then your last week you get hit by a car.
I feel like she should work somewhere where there are not a lot of cars, like a state park or something. Because obviously this is a problem. What if she goes, her next job is like New York City and she has to do a report on Broadway. There's cars flying.
Oh,
she might not be as lucky next time.
Oh, man. That's really, you're right. She should be like a ranger at Yosemite or something.
Yeah.
The last one I want to play is something that I think is now going to be part of our lexicon for a while.
We're good, Tim.
We're good, Tim.
We're good, Tim.
That's the new I'm on top of it, Rose.
Yeah.
Like, we're good, Tim.
We're good, Tim.
Yeah, just.
We're good, Tim.
When you are so clearly not good.
Yeah.
Nobody believed that we're good. Not one person.
Can we talk about Tim for a second, too?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You want to talk about Tim the anchor?
Tim had a lot of Ron Burgundy in him.
Like, Tim was back in the studio.
Yeah, like it felt like if it wasn't on the teleprompter, like basically this woman gets hit by a car. For all we know, she's dead. He's like, so tell me about that water main break. Looks like you got hit by a car there.
He was really cool. And, you know, maybe that's the guy looks like an older gentleman. Maybe that's just decades in the business. Like you're just really jaded, you know, maybe, or you just have such a poker face. Nothing can rile you up. You know, he's got a lot of just straight newsman.
Could he see her?
He said, did you get hit from up high or hit below?
Yeah,
I couldn't tell.
Right, so he must not have had a camera on her because it's pretty obvious she gets hit sort of in the lower
back. In the legs, yeah.
Yeah. So his coolness was weird. He never got out of that anchor voice, which struck me. And even his follow-up questions, like, You know, I'd be a little worried if we were doing like a 2A and you were off on the field somewhere and you got hit by a car. I'd be like, Maggie, are you okay? Okay. He's like, so tell us about this car accident. Yeah, I felt like
it was way too smooth.
And I got to tell you, I don't know the news value of a water main break in Dunbar, West Virginia. What's going on in West Virginia? Is that really
listen,
like...
Listen, that's news. Your commute could get all messed up. The news value there was high.
And it's not exactly like she was reporting from a war zone. You would think that's a pretty safe story to cover.
Poor lady. It was a war zone for her. I mean, yikes.
Oh, my God.
What a terrible day.
I have
what a bad day.
As long as we're doing non-sports story, I have something.
We're good, Tim.
I have something that's going to make you sad, Maggie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you were so excited earlier this week. Monday Night Football, the Manning cast. Mm-hmm. The Rock gets up there with a T-Rex skull.
Oh, Stan?
Stan.
Yeah, Stan the T-Rex. We thought that The Rock was the anonymous bidder at
Sotheby's.
At Sotheby's.
$31
million. Yeah.
The Rock came out and admitted it was a replica. Costs about $12,000. The Rock does not have a real T-Rex skull in his house.
There's nothing wrong with having
a replica skull, but you thought The Rock was the coolest. And now, is he still the coolest?
I'm going to be honest, a little shine taken off there.
Of the whole Rock? Like all the movies he's done and all the pro wrestling, you're saying The Rock is less cool?
No,
because he has
a
replica stand?
No, but, you know, to quote The Rock, I mean, kind of a jabroni move, right? I mean, you got to really get the real thing. First of all, you're The Rock, number one, so you've got the money.
Oh, he's got more than enough money.
You're obviously into this kind of thing, you know, paleontology, you know, dinosaur bones, whatever. Don't you have to go for the top thing? This is The Rock here. We're talking about A-list.
You know, it's funny. He sent out an Instagram post about the fake skull, and he had like 200 words of nerdy paleontology thing. I think he's a gigantic, like... Rock's nerd. It was unbelievable. Like, you're The Rock. You should be out there, like, beating people up. How come you know this much about paleontology? Even if it was a fake, the dude knows his dinosaur bones.
Well, I guess when he was acquiring the Stan, the T-Rex skull, he was so caught up in whether or not he could. He never worried about whether or not he should. And that's a lesson for all of us from Jurassic Park. 855-212-4.
I was like, where is Maggie going?
That
with
didn't
this?
Land at all. No, Jeff Goldblum. Nobody remembers.
You got to deliver it in a more Jeff Goldblum voice. That's the problem.
I thought I was. That's what's sad about that.
Oh, no.
Maggie and Perloff, we've hit the bottom of the hour.
I think you've lost me for the rest of the show, by the way. That was Jeff Goldblum? That was your Jeff Goldblum impersonation?
It was on the fly. It was off the cuff, Goldblum. They were so worried about whether they could. Worried about whether they should. No?
Okay, I'm
Something
with you.
Like that.
I'm with you. I just wasn't expecting it. It's brilliant. I like it. Anytime you want to throw like a 90s impersonation at me, I'm perfectly ready for it.
All right. Well, I'll start stacking them up for you. Like, who's very 90s? I'll give you some Brad Pitt in a little bit. Coming up, an update on one of the biggest stories in sports. Don't move. But it's the bottom of the hour. We've got a CBS Sports Update with Rich Ackerman.
CBS Sports Flash.
Well, the Bengals get a boost as they get ready to...
Perloff and Maggie. Maggie and Perloff hanging out with you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Stu Kovacs in the driver's seat today, already posting clips on social media of the show you've been listening to. Go to @MaggieandPerl, P-E-R-L. That's where you can find clips from the show. Of course, we've got YouTube. We've got a podcast. You can download the Odyssey app and just hit the rewind function if you missed anything in the show. And one story we haven't gotten to yet that we have to make sure we do because it's huge, which is a couple things surrounding the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, they've been in the news a lot, obviously, because of how they lost against the Cincinnati Bengals in the wild card round, but also these Jim Harbaugh rumors that have been swirling. So we're getting a lot of different reports here. Yesterday, the story in The Athletic was that Jim Harbaugh is basically back at the bargaining table with the University of Michigan and that they could be working out a new contract that may be incentive-laden. And that's what kind of perked my ears up because I'm like, Jim Harbaugh is going to have a lot of different suitors, whether it's going to be college or whether it's going to be in the pros, which he always sort of has the NFL kind of in his back pocket, Perloff, because he knows that could be a leverage play. He took a pay cut last year, rebounds nicely with a win over Ohio State, and they make it to the Final Four. So the idea of an incentive-laden contract, I thought, could be kind of insulting to Jim Harbaugh.
Maybe, but I think the more common take was, oh my gosh, all this Jim Harbaugh noise was his agent saying, sort of drumming up interest from other suitors, the Raiders and the Bears, just to get him a better contract. So the initial reaction yesterday was, oh, why are we spending all this energy talking about Jim Harbaugh when this was just a play to get more money from Michigan? But as it turns out, that might not be the case.
No, now there was another report that came out that said if Jim Harbaugh was offered the Las Vegas Raiders job, that he would take it. So put that all together in the stew. I mean, here's the thing that I find funny. Maybe not so much with Jim Harbaugh, because we would assume that because of what he did with San Francisco and taking the 49ers to the Super Bowl, that he would have a high level of cachet and power when he would go to any team. But I do find it funny that this has become a trend that I'm seeing across the NFL. For teams that need both a general manager and a head coach, that they're simultaneously doing these interviews. I noticed the New York Giants are doing this. I believe the Vikings are as well. It's like, you're, and the Bears, don't you need to hire the general manager first and then they're going to help you hire the coach? How could you be putting in for coaching interviews when you have no idea who the general manager is?
You mean like when the Jets hired Adam Gase and then hired Joe Douglas right behind him and that kind of thing?
Well, it just, it messes up, like, what's your hierarchy like?
Yeah.
You know, like, who does the head coach report to the general manager? Don't you guys want that? Doesn't an owner want these two tied to the hip so that they both have, you know, like, incentives to succeed together?
Well, I think there are a couple things. I think owners are looking at this coaching market. It's a market. Like, there's probably two or three guys who are going to have multiple offers. Dan Quinn, I think, the Cowboys defensive coordinator, I think you don't have time to wait for your general manager. And I also think the coach is more important. He's the face of the franchise. Mm. So I think some of these owners are looking like, come on, have you ever heard of most of these names in the GM cycle? Like, there's Billy Lipper and all these guys I've never heard of are interviewing.
You just made that up. You just made a person up.
No, I made that name up, but honestly, I think like the GM in these situations is not as important as a coach. A coach is a front-facing guy. So I feel like you got to take care of that. I understand what you're saying. Of course, it doesn't make sense. And I think if you hire Jim Harbaugh, even if he's not the GM, guess what? The GM doesn't have any power. It's just like Gruden.
Yeah, see, that's what I think. It sets up a bad dynamic.
Okay.
You know, because, yeah, you could say like the coach is, if you think the coach is more important than the general manager and like, I see what you're saying, but the GM is important. Then let the coach run your draft. Let the coach run your draft night. You know, because if they're the one who's going to be coaching the players on the field, then why wouldn't they have the final say? Say you're coming down to the wire and, you know, let's say it was the Bears last year or another team. You know, do you want Justin Fields? Do you want Mac Jones? Like, what do you want to do right here? Why not let the coach make the decision in that case?
Like in a certain franchise in New England,
well,
where Bill Belichick
unique.
Makes the final call.
Yeah, but that's unique. And also Belichick gets criticized because a lot of his draft picks don't pan out. So, you know, there's, to me, like the best way to do it is you have the ownership is at the top. The general manager is then next, and then the coach gets hired by the general manager. And then the coach reports to the GM, the GM reports to the owner.
No, you're right. Of course that makes sense. But what if the general manager has too much influence? For example, there's a lot of criticism in Philadelphia. Howie Roseman, who's always embattled, selected Jalen Reagor. And then all of a sudden, Jalen Reagor is not productive on the field, but he's on the field. Are there situations where you think the GM is saying, I picked this guy in the first round, you better make him work, get him on the field?
I think there's some of that. I think that there's an instance where it goes to the extreme, which we know is in Houston, where Nick Caserio is their general manager, and he has a direct line to the headset of the coach.
I know. That is the worst. That
like,
sounds like,
hey, go for it on fourth down.
The worst possible scenario. And by the way, Caserio was in New England, where Belichick was making all the GM decisions anyway.
But Caserio apparently was on the headset there, too. I think Belichick is just really good at taking in all types of information.
I did not know that.
I believe he was in New England? I think Albert Breer had said that at one point.
That Caserio? Man, that surprises me because I thought it was all Bill. I've heard stories that Bill would not even let his scouts in the room on draft night. It was just three people sitting in a room.
Then why have them?
Well, they give him information before.
Oh, and he doesn't want anyone lobbying when he's on the clock.
Or maybe leaking. I don't know. It might be guys know each other. I think it's a secrecy thing, which just sounds very New England. But this whole formula, like who's more important, the GM or the coach? Let's take Jim Harbaugh. Does it matter who the GM is? Because he's got such a big personality that the Raiders are basically, it's a Jim Harbaugh show if he comes, which makes me a little nervous because it was just a John Gruden show.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about it being the John Gruden show, and it's fair to wonder about it. I thought this was really interesting from Mike Silver, who's writing for Bally Sports now, who's longtime SI writer.
Sports Illustrated, NFL Network.
NFL Network. And he was talking to one unnamed Raiders veteran player who took it a step further when he said, why the Raiders actually finished the season strong and made it to the playoffs was because Gruden was not in the building. This was the quote. We didn't have Gruden grinding us late in the year. Gruden would kill us and we would fall apart. The reason this team played so well down the stretch is that Rich Bisaccia listened to the players and took it easy over the back half of the season. And if you want some evidence here, the Raiders closed the previous three seasons 2-4, 1-5, and 2-5. It was a story. I mean, the fact that the Raiders fall apart, you know, that was a theme for John Gruden's Las Vegas Raiders. And so this veteran who didn't want to put their name to it told Mike Silver that, you know, having Gruden away. Listen, I don't know if that's necessarily a reason to bring back Rich Bisaccia, but it's definitely, you know, something that the next coach coming in should, you know, should look at and should probably take from the page of Rich.
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking, is that what happens with Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals? I don't think that is. It doesn't strike me as a Cliff Kingsbury move. But the thing about Rich Bisaccia, there's a really bad history in the NFL of interim coaches having some success their first year and then not making
kind of fading out.
Like kind of Romeo Crennel, Leslie Frazier, Tom Cable in the Raiders. And this is a talented roster. You know, I've kind of come around on Derek Carr. I feel like Jim Harbaugh would be pretty excited about what Derek Carr could do. You got Max Crosby as a superstar on the defensive line. You got Josh Jacobs, a running back. You got Darren Waller. You got Hunter Renfro as a star. I feel like this is an attractive job. There might be a little bit of feeling, oh, am I going to waste this roster with Rich Bisaccia?
What did you call Derek Carr? The Bermuda Triangle of quarterbacks?
Oh, you know, all we try and do, basically the job of the sports media is to evaluate quarterbacks. Nobody has successfully evaluated Derek Carr ever in the history of the sport.
He is really hard to peg.
It's like if you look at a picture and you can't quite get it in focus, he never comes into focus. He's either good or bad, and he goes game to game. And within a game, and we saw this in the playoff game, he's one quarterback in the second quarter, a different quarterback in the fourth quarter.
You're so right. More than anyone, especially the thing about Carr, it's like it's not like we don't have a sample size here. I mean, the guy's almost, is he 30? He might be 30. Like, he's been around for a while. He's had a big contract, over $100 million. Like, he's coming to the end of it. We've known Derek Carr for a really long time. Can't figure the guy out.
Nope. And he doesn't help us because his personality is a little different, too. He gets really ornery. Like, he blocks, you know, he's famous for blocking reporters on Twitter.
Right.
Like, why is he seems like a nice guy, but then he's blocking reporters on Twitter. One day he's got this cool buzz cut. The next he's got this weird hair. I just can't figure it. And, you know, and he has David Carr
maybe
in the press.
Maybe he doesn't want to be labeled.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't want to be put in one of your boxes, Perloff, you know?
And the other thing is he has his brother, David Carr, former number one overall pick on the NFL Network, telling everybody that Derek Carr is awesome, but everyone's like, ah, he's your brother. Like, what kind of analysis is that?
He's a little close to the project.
Yeah, so I challenge you, Meg, if you ever read a story or hear a broadcaster who fully explains the Derek Carr experience, I'd like to see it. Because I've never seen anybody him.
It's funny to call it like the Derek Carr experience like it's a ride at Disney. It's like, hey, everyone, buckle up. It's get ready for the Derek Carr experience. And then it's like him throwing for like, you know, 150 yards and two touchdowns in the first half and just totally imploding in the second half.
But then he'll throw like 14 completions in a row. He's a big like completion record guy. He gets really hot. It's unbelievable. Like we can figure out Josh Allen. We can figure out Justin Herbert. We know the deal there, Derek Carr. But all right, if you're Jim Harbaugh and you have, I'll give you three choices. You got Michigan, you got the Raiders, and you got the Bears, not knowing money or anything. Is there one that jumps out to you? I got one.
I think the Raiders is probably the most appealing right now for year one. But beyond, I like Justin Fields. So I think that would be appealing for him for the long term.
Do you worry about that? That stigma of a Bears, they've never had a good quarterback in Chicago. I know Harbaugh played there.
I'm sure he would probably, he thinks he could change that.
And you like Justin Fields more than Derek Carr?
Well, they're two totally different guys. One's 23 and the other one's 30. I can't say that.
And neither of us said, and I'm with you, I go Raiders. Neither of us said Michigan. Why not?
Just because it kind of feels like there was a natural closure to this season. Even though they didn't win the title, just him beating Ohio State and making it to the Final Four kind of just felt like, all right, you know, you did something you hadn't been able to do in all these years. You know, you had a lot of alumni, I know, that were upset with, you know, the fact that the team had kind of fallen off. And so I think now's the time to do like a sort of Vegas exit, you know, leave while they're still clapping.
Yeah. So Bisaccia interviewed the other day. Mm. If they don't go Harbaugh, I'm fine with Bisaccia. But it's funny, if they take Bisaccia, then you found out that Harbaugh really wanted that job. I think that's going to be bad for Bisaccia. I think Raiders fans are going to be like
a Harbaugh shadow. Even
yeah. When... I think people will be like, oh, we should have gone. Because let's face it, Bisaccia comes back and they have Derek Carr, they're going 10-7 again. That's a fact. They're going to be 9-8 playing the Chargers in week 18 for the playoffs because that's who they are as a team.
Yeah, wondering if the other team's going to take an ill-advised timeout. Let's flesh that one again.
Inadvertent whistle, don't forget that.
Don't forget that, too. Yeah. It seems that my my Jeff Goldblum impersonation has gotten some criticism. You know, I was just merely trying to put a nice bow on the segment we were doing, which was when we found out, and Perloff told me that the Rock's T-Rex skull replica was indeed a replica. It wasn't the real thing. It wasn't really Stan. It was a cheap imposter.
Right.
Didn't cost him $32 million. It cost him $12,000. The Rock, that's like he blows his nose with that money. It's nothing.
Tuesday morning, you're like, oh, he had a secret auctioner at Sotheby's who bid
so
on it for him.
Badass. Meanwhile, no. He's like playing with the plastic toys.
Great.
So I tried to wrap up the segment nicely by throwing out a Jeff Goldblum line, and Perloff just dunked on me because he said it didn't sound anything like Jeff Goldblum. So we've got the audio. Let's go head-to-head here. First, let's do Jeff Goldblum and hear what he said from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
Classic. All right, let's hear how I did. They were so worried about whether they could. Worried about whether they should.
Oh.
Dude, I freaking nailed that.
You nailed it.
You are so, like, who was that? Was that Jeff Goldblum? Where was the impersonation?
But you didn't do the yeah in the beginning.
Well, I also botched it because I didn't get the scientists. I missed scientists.
Yeah.
Scientists.
You did a good job, but the Jeff Goldblum has a manic energy to his voice that you were maybe a little too chill. Can I hear Maggie again? Can I hear Maggie's part?
They were so worried about whether they could, never worried about whether they should.
Okay.
I think I nailed the should.
You were good. You're right. Did you get any text or any tweets saying
that? Can we get Goldblum again?
Yeah,
but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
See, that's where I got it.
You had to speed it up.
Just at the end.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the frantic nature of Jeff Goldblum because I don't have a reanimated dinosaur chasing me here in the studio.
That's true. Did you get any tweets or any texts saying that you did a good job on this?
Oh, yeah. Husband said nailed it.
He knew you were doing Jurassic Park.
Definitely.
I think I was blindsided by Jurassic Park. I just didn't see it coming. I don't know why.
It's talking one of my most quotable movies.
How many times have you seen it?
50?
Jurassic Park 1, we're talking about, or all the Jurassic Parks?
Just one. I've seen the other ones. They're awful. It's like surprising how bad they are. Oh. I've also read the books.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Are you like The Rock?
Do I win Nerd of the Day?
Are you like The Rock? Are you a total dinosaur nerd? So that why you're so upset when you found out it was a plastic skull behind The Rock?
Maybe. Am I a secret dinosaur nerd? Maybe I am. Maybe I have done a little research back in my day.
Well, all I have to say to that, all I have to say to that is, let's go on a field trip to the American Natural History Museum. I also am a dinosaur nerd. I know more about T-Rexes than you. Do you know they have feathers like birds?
I think that's a myth.
No. We're going to the museum. It's absolutely true. I saw all the scientific evidence of it.
So instead of watching the divisional round this weekend, you can catch Perloff and myself at the Natural History Museum in New York taking a tour about the T-Rexes.
Yes.
That's probably a good use of our time.
That being said, though, I feel like I'm a dinosaur nerd. If you go past a T-Rex, I'm in trouble.
That's it.
Yeah. I know Velociraptors because of Jurassic Park and the basketball team, but I feel like if you're going to talk about those big herbivores or anything.
What were you saying earlier about ruining dinner parties?
Yeah.
I think you're ruining them multiple ways there.
Yes.
Dinosaur talk.
Dinosaur effective field goal percentage.
Yeah.
And the difference between effective field goal percentage and true field goal percentage.
Yeah, you know, it's really a shame that we are out of time.
We
are out of time.
Do you want me to explain war to you, the analytic term?
You know, I think I'm good.
VORP?
I'm good on that.
VORP?
A little BABIP. We'll do that tomorrow. Perloff, Maggie, Stu, thank you so much. Jack Stern, who filled in on the board today, thank you so much. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. Have a great night, everybody. We out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.